Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Bruchim Aboyim, welcome to our Monday night Parsha Shir. Today is Yud Nisan Tov Shin Pei Aleph, corresponding to the English calendar, March 22nd, 2021. This week's Parsha is Parsha Tzav, but it's also Shabbos HaGadol. I'm not going to be spending time talking about Parshas Tzav today. I would like to spend much more time on Shabbos HaGadol. But just to mention just a moment, Parshas Tzav does speak about the various avodos connected to the Mizbeach, the three different kinds of log arrangements on the Mizbeach, plus the different kinds of korbanos with their corresponding laws. But we're going to be spending time talking about Shabbos HaGadol. For one reason is that we have a very unusual year this year, is because Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that was a week ago, on the Sunday, is the exact time Chodesh Nisan was in the Midbar. Or I shouldn't say in the Midbar, but in Mitzrayim, for the Jewish people getting ready to go to the Midbar. In other words, the Shabbos HaGadol, the Shabbos of this week, is the exact Shabbos the Jewish people had prepared their Korban Pesach to be slaughtered in the afternoon, on Shabbos afternoon. And that's one reason why it was called Shabbos HaGadol, because it incited the anger of the Egyptians to see that their gods were being slaughtered right by them. And they were too frightened to make any movement or comment to initiate any kind of a revolt. So let's talk about Shabbos HaGadol. It's a Shabbos that in 99% of the time is a time where rabbis speak on Shabbos to their congregation about Shabbos, about not just Shabbos, but it talks about Pesach and the laws that relate to Pesach. But of course, they want to talk about the laws that they would be able to be relevant, and it wouldn't be that helpful if they had to talk about laws on Shabbos, which would precede the going to the Seder. So this year, it was very popular to make Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, the lectures that deal with Shabbos HaGadol, not actually this coming Shabbos, but they spoke last week on the topic of Pesach and all the related laws and customs, so that during the week prior to Pesach, people had a chance to go ahead and make preparations or make changes in their plans, all according to what the rabbi said in last week's drasha, which was actually in Parshas Vayikra. But now, let us just focus on the concept of Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol. Why was it called Shabbos HaGadol? Why was it Gadol? Now, I did make a comment that it was a miraculous day that the Jewish people were spared from being annihilated by the Egyptians, because after all, they were taking their Avodah Zarah, their idol, and slaughtering it. That we mentioned already. But the Maharal Miprag, famous commentary, says another reason, a deeper reason. Why was the Shabbos prior to Pesach called Shabbos HaGadol, the great Shabbos? So let's stop and think historically. This Shabbos was prior to the greatest moment in Jewish history outside of Kabbalah HaTorah. It was the Shabbos that the Jewish people became a people. It was the birth of the Jewish people, maybe more commonly known as the birthday of the Jewish people, the night that they were expelled from Egypt and became free people. Now, the rule is says the Maharal, that the Shabbos, prior to a great event that happened to the Jewish people, puts Shabbos in the same category as the event itself. In other words, no one argues to the fact that Yetzias Mitzrayim was one of the greatest events that happened to the Jewish people. Says the Maharal that Shabbos absorbs the greatness of the event to what is going to take place. So the Shabbos prior to the event is also great as the event itself. Now, this is not something new to us because we know the Shabbos that's right prior to Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shuva, the Shabbos of returning. Why is it called Shabbos Shuva? It's called Shabbos Shuva because it's the Shabbos prior to the holiest day of the year, prior to Yom Kippur. So the concept was made clear by the Maharal that any event, any great event that happens to the Jewish people, the Shabbos prior already absorbs the greatness, the significance, the excitement, and the message beforehand. So therefore, we understand that the Shabbos before Yetzias Mitzrayim is a Shabbos HaGadol. It's a great Shabbos. It's also a Shabbos that has in it the properties of freedom of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, the Shabbos prior to the holiday of Pesach is called Shabbos HaGadol. And what do? We celebrate a Seder, a yearly memorial to rejuvenate our spiritual batteries, and it's a hands-on experience. It's what we want to experience ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, and maybe great-grandchildren, if it's possible. It's a hands-on experience. And therefore, you'll notice even different groups of Jews who are not necessarily as affiliated to Yiddishkeit like we are also observe some semblance, some kind of gathering, a Seder gathering, in memorial of the great, great event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Of course, only on the level that they are able to achieve. But even they, who normally are not committed to Torah, know that a Pesach Seder is something not to be missed because it's a celebration to the birthday of the Jewish people. At the Seder, there are two very basic mitzvahs of the Torah that are performed, and the rest of the evening are really rabbinical. The first mitzvah is Vehigadeta Levincha, the mitzvah of reciting, retelling, involving the children in the episode, in the historical events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to get them involved, to get them interested, to have them ask questions, to have a dialogue, and get the children connected with their historical roots. The second mitzvah is achilas matzah, eating the matzah, a mitzvah in the Torah. Naturally, we would fulfill the one other mitzvah had we had a Beis HaMikdash, that would be the Korban Pesach, but because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, the third mitzvah, which is the Araisa of achilas Pesach, cannot be fulfilled. We hope with Hashem having mercy on the Jewish people and bringing Mashiach, we'll be able to fulfill all the mitzvahs correctly. Anyway, the event of the Seder with the help of the Chachamim create a very special environment. We call the night of Pesach the meal, not the Pesach meal. We call it. We don't even call it the Pesach. We don't call it the Pesach party. We call it the Seder night. Why do we call it the Seder? Seder has a meaning. Seder means an order. There is an order to the evening. That means everything has a place. The drinking of the wine, the recital of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of leaving Egypt, the eating of the matzah, the eating of the moror, the festive meal, everything has to have a place. But there is some mitzvah of the evening that many people are not aware of that's really the center of the Seder. The center, when I say, is where the Seder has been created so that the mitzvah should be fulfilled correctly, which is the mitzvah of Achilas Afikoman, which is popularly known in the Haggadah as Tzafon, the hidden Afikoman, because there's a deadline. To fulfill the mitzvah correctly, we eat the matzah, the Afikoman, by 1:23 a.m. So the experience of the Seder is a hands-on experience and is getting everybody involved. And it would be advisable that the participants who are by the Seder should use a Haggadah that they are familiar with, that they're comfortable with, so they'll be able to follow the instructions, follow the meaning of many parts of the Haggadah, and be able to be directly involved with the discussion and with the excitement that ensues. Now, I thought of a very interesting explanation. I would call it even novel because I haven't heard it from anyone else. On the pasuk in the Torah that talks about the mitzvah of making matzah. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, and I'll read you the pasuk. It's a pasuk in Perek Yud Beis, it's Parshas Bo, Shemot, pasuk Yud Zayin. And the pasuk reads, Ushmartem es hamatzos, and you shall guard the matzos. Ki be'etzem hayom hazeh, because in that very day, hotzeisi es tzivoseichem, I have taken out your groups, your legions, me'eretz Mitzrayim, Ushmartem et hayom hazeh l'doraseichem, and you shall guard this day for generations to come, chukas olam, an everlasting chok, command. So, the simple meaning of the pasuk means, well, when you make matzah, you have to guard the matzah, be sure that it doesn't become chometz. That is a process of making matzah. Be sure that the matzah doesn't rise because it becomes chometz. Chazal told us, our rabbis of sacred memory mentioned that there's a way of reading the same pasuk a little differently. The same words can be changed around and read, instead of saying Ushmartem es hamatzos, we could read the word as Ushmartem es hamitzvos, and you shall guard the mitzvos. That just like you guard making the matzos carefully and very cautiously, when you do mitzvahs, you should be careful how you do your mitzvahs. In the same pasuk, Ushmartem es hamitzvos. This is a very popular explanation on this pasuk. However, I want to tell you a novel pshat that I thought on my own, and I'd like to share it with you. And I think it has a lot of relevance. Ushmartem es hamatzos, and you shall guard the matzos, could also be read, and you shall guard the Chag HaMatzos, the holiday of Matzos. And by guarding the message of the holiday of Matzos, then you could fulfill what Chazal say, which Martem also call HaMitzah. You can guard, then you, if you guard the holiday of Matzos, then you will be privileged in how in guarding also all the mitzvahs of the Torah. That's my insight. So let's talk about mitzvahs. How does this work? How does this fit in? Well, we know if you're going to guard matzos from becoming chametz, right? You're careful, right? And we all know related mitzvahs that are connected to the matzah and the baking of it is chametz and the baking of matzah. And we already know that the holiday of Chag HaMatzos doesn't only talk about chametz and matzah, but we know all the details that are surrounding the holiday of Pesach, the Chag HaMatzos, that deals with bedikas chametz, searching for chametz. We know the this year particularly the different laws that surround Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos, and we know many halachas. We know the Chag HaMatzos, the holiday of Matzos, it's full of many laws. I mentioned last week that there would be a good idea to get the manual of the COR, the Kashrut Council of Ontario, the COR manual that has so many interesting and very important points, which I think would help us all. We're not going to go through that, but I'm just trying to tell you there are all to fulfill the Chag HaMatzos, the spirit and the meaning of the holiday. There's plenty of information, and it was already probably mentioned a week ago. Many details by the rabbis of your shul, of your community, of what mitzvahs you are to be keenly aware of, so that you fulfill the mitzvahs correctly, and the speeches and the lectures that have been given by very popular and well-received speakers all touched upon the Chag HaMatzos, the holiday of eating matzah. However, I would like to add a few of my own areas of halacha that not everybody might have touched upon, even if you did attend a lecture or a relevant speech about Pesach. So I'm going to mention a few that might be inspiring and something that you're able to think about. First of all, in Mechiras Chametz, in selling the Chametz, right? And you're going to be selling your chametz, and which is connected to bedikas chametz. So selling your chametz, no. You have to be very explicit to the rabbi that where your chametz is being sold, and where you are planning are you planning to be in the house at the time? Are you planning to live in the same house? Most people do live in the same house that they sold their cupboards, or their rooms that contain chametz, right? But let's say you might be going out of town, all right? So you have to be very explicit to the rabbi what your intention is, and to be able to observe the laws of bedikas chametz properly, because the laws do change for those who are not going to be at home the night of the bedikas chametz, which this year is going to be on Thursday night. And the contract is not the same contract that everybody uses. That has to be a special contract. So you have to be very explicit about that. So Mechivas Chametz and Bedikas Chametz, they work together. And it would be very important that when you deal with this with a rabbi, you're very explicit in what your plans are. And therefore, he'll be able to adjust the Mechivas, the sale of Chametz, accordingly so that you will not have any issue with your chametz nor with the bedikah. Just a subtle reminder, when getting rid of your chametz, don't forget to get rid of the vacuum bag in your vacuum cleaner. Some people might just forget that, where the bag might be left in the vacuum cleaner, and you know you might be having a whole full bag of chametz. You should change it before Pesach. Now, there are various times that we have to be very careful about, and actually in the COR manual, it does mention the various times that we have to be careful. The times when we're supposed to stop eating on Shabbos, the times when we are allowed to prepare our Seder on after Shabbos, going into Mitzoy Shabbos, and according to the COR book for Torontonians, that is according to its explicit time schedule, it's 8:23. You can't do any preparation for the Seder any time on Shabbos before 8:23. So that's very, very important. And the next night, the same thing would happen. You can't prepare for another day on Yom Tov, and the next night would be 8:25 p.m. So this is also very, very important to be able to get your times explicitly clear so you don't forget what to do when you're supposed to do it. How about Havdalah? This year, we have to make Havdalah in middle of our first cup of wine. Now, I know of a friend of mine who accidentally, he made Havdalah by taking a Havdalah candle, you know, a regular Havdalah candle, which turned into a torch. And after everyone said, Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh, he said, now what do I do? He wasn't able to put it out. And this big flame was burning. He found a way of holding it up by putting it into a stand, and it was burning for hours, this big flame. Now, we have to avoid that. I would call that an accident. We don't have to use such a candle. But I would suggest a much simpler suggestion. Why don't we take a tea light? And, we prepare this beforehand on Friday, and put in the center of the tea light a toothpick. We break the toothpick the size of the wick, and we force it into the center of the tea light. When we light it with the Yontif candles, you have a double flame, which is required for Havdalah, and everyone will say, Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh, go look at their fingernails and see the reflection. And you put the tea light safely aside, and it'll burn for 2 or 3 hours safely, would not bother anybody. Using two candles, two regular candles, is a little bit problematic because you can't have the wax touch each other. That runs into a problem of Mimareach. It's a different Aveira, a different problem on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If you do use two candles, then you have to be sure that only the two flames merge, but not the wax touches each other. It's a little tricky. So the best suggestion I would like to make is use a tea light prepared before Yom Tov, and you have one for the first day of Yom Tov, and then you can make a preparation for another. That's it. That's a week later. I think that's very important. Another halacha, which I'm pretty sure not too many people thought about, is the bracha of Shehecheyanu. The bracha of Shehecheyanu, women make when they light the candles. Now, there is a little bit of a problem that can be result if the women have in mind when they make Shehecheyanu that goes on the holiday and all of the mitzvahs at night. Well, that's wonderful. The only problem is they're going to be hearing the Shehecheyanu bracha again during the first cup of wine when the leader of the house makes the bracha on his first kos. And naturally, we all answer amen to his bracha. But for the woman who already was yotzei Shehecheyanu by the candles, the amen is an interruption from her hearing Kiddush and drinking her wine. So I came up with a simple suggestion that when the woman makes Shehecheyanu bracha on her candles, she should only have in mind the Chag. She's making a Shehecheyanu on the holiday of Pesach alone, and not on all of the mitzvahs of that evening. Naturally, when she hears the Shehecheyanu bracha from the head of the house, then she'll include the Shehecheyanu of all the mitzvahs of the evening. And of course it would be very advisable at the very, very beginning of the Seder, before the head of the house makes the bracha on the wine, just to remind everybody that when he says Shehecheyanu, he's including all the mitzvahs that will be taking place besides just the chag. It'll include the wine, it'll include the matzah, it'll be including the morah, and so forth. Before we leave the bracha of Shehecheyanu, I've noticed a common problem, and that is many, many people, even adults, not children, even adults, don't pronounce the bracha correctly. They say Shehecheyanu. They skip the hey. It's a different meaning. There has to be three segols. A segol is a vowel. The segol sound is an eh sound. It should sound like this. Shehecheyanu. That he caused us to live, not Shehecheyanu. That's a different word. It has to be separately pronounced, Shehecheyanu. And many people say the next word also incorrectly. They say Vikimanu. That's not correct. It's Vikimanu. There's a yud there. Vikimanu. And that's a correction that I would like to advertise. It's something important. Next halacha, when the head of the house is making the bracha on the first cup of wine. So women and all those men who are not going to make the bracha on the wine should be holding their cup at the time. And by doing that, they are showing honor and reverence to the Kiddush. And then once the head of the house finished his kiddush and his avdalah, everyone drinks their wine, and men should be reminded to drink their wine on their left side, and then they continue, and the women, which we normally don't drink on the left side, they don't have to, will continue this the drinking properly. When we do, later on in the Seder, make a bracha on the matzah. We say, Asher kedushanu b'mitzvah v'tzvayinu al achilas matzah. That's when we take the matzah, the top matzah, and the middle matzah, that the broken matzah. We should also have in mind when we say al achilas matzah, it goes on the korach, that's the bitter sandwich, and the afikoman. Now, when we do eat the matzah, as well as the maror, we should have in mind the meaning behind it. We're eating the matzah to remember both the slavery, the Jewish people were eating matzah as slaves, and their liberation, that they were so quickly liberated that they're eating the matzah, that we eat matzah in memory that they didn't have time to bake their dough into bread. Another halacha, I would like to again repeat, which I mentioned before, the achilas afikoman should be eaten before 1:23 a.m. And there is a very interesting halacha in regard to this coming Shabbos. This coming Shabbos will be an opportunity for many, many people to take a Shabbos nap and get ready and feel ready and feel rejuvenated and rested for the Seder. Something quite unusual. But there is a little bit of a problem. Is when we go and take our Shabbos nap, many people might be motivated to say, I'm going to take my Shabbos nap so that I can stay up for the Seder. The verbal declaration of saying I'm taking a Shabbos nap so that I can stay up for the Seder is inappropriate, because what we are essentially doing, we are preparing ourselves on Shabbos for Yom Tov. And just like we're not supposed to prepare the Seder before 8:23, as I mentioned before, because you're still in the Shabbos mode, you can't even speak about sleeping on Shabbos for the Seder, because you're actually preparing yourself for Yom Tov. And even though you're allowed to think it, and even though when you sleep you're going to mean it, but it would be inappropriate to verbalize it and say, I'm going to go to my Shabbos nap so I can really be up late at the Seder. So that's a list of mitzvahs that would be incorporated in the meaning of a shmartam as hamitzvahs, right? You're guarding the mitzvahs. But again, according to the interpretation that I told you, that the pasuk v'shmartem es hamatzos, and it would also refer to the chag. If you guard the holiday, the message of the holiday, it would make it possible for you to guard es hamitzos, all the mitzvahs. So how did that come about? So I'm going to go a little bit into a deeper explanation of what it means, Ushmartem as Hamatzos, meaning to say guarding the holiday. In what way? In what way am I referring to guarding the holiday that will help you guard all the mitzvahs of the Torah as well? Well, the message which I would like to impart is that the holiday of Pesach is the holiday of the Jewish people showing their emuna and betachin, their complete faith and their reliance in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they were told to take the seah and to go tie it to their bedposts, they put their lives in danger. But their faith in Hashem and their reliance on His command was where it all started. The holiday of Pesach started with the Korban Pesach. They kept the faith in Hashem. They kept their faith throughout their being in Egypt. As we are very familiar, the Jewish people kept three very major things. Shloshinu Shemam, they did not change their names. Shloshinu Rishonam, they did not change their tongue, their language. They spoke the Hebrew tongue. And Shloshinu Malbusham, they did not change their clothing. They looked like Jews, they spoke like Jews, and they called each other by Jewish names. They kept the faith. And that's part of why they were liberated. Hashem had seen their commitment to these three things, and it helped them leave Egypt and be privileged to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Another expression of faith. When the Jewish people finally left Mitzrayim, we know that they left without provisions. Only the matzah that they baked and they had their food that they rolled up. You go into a desert with almost nothing to eat, with no water. Yet, we know their faith gave them the strength and the fortitude to be able to leave Egypt and to do it willingly. A matter of fact, it's such an important part of Jewish history that it's mentioned in the Rosh Hashanah davening in the part of Zichronos, where Hashem relates and remembers the greatness of the Jewish people. I'll just read you the pasuk. It says, Zacharti lo chesed ne'urayach. I remember the kindness of your youth. Ahavas kelula soyach, the love of your being like a kala. Lechtech achere bamidbar, to go after me in the desert. Be'evis leizerua, and the land with a piece of land that there's nothing that grows. You're going into a desert, but with the faith you showed in Hashem. So, the holiday of Pesach, the message of Pesach, the message of the Chag, is the message of Emunah B'Tachin. This is what kept the Jewish people alive till today, our faith in Hashem. And that's what we mean, and that's what we say when we lift up our cups by the Hisha Amda. When we raise up our cups and we say loudly, it was that faith that we had in Hashem that helped us throughout every generation. Because in every generation, there is somebody, there's a Russia, there is a tyrant, there's some arrogant leader who wants to overwhelm the Jewish people and try to persecute them, if not kill them. But V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Mi'adam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from their hands. If I remember correctly, I think it's Rabbi Yaakov Emden, or another great person, could be Rabbi Yaakov Emden, mentions that us being here 3,500 years later, alive and well, puts the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim like in the background. It dwarfs it. We have experienced many, many, many more miracles as a Jewish people that has kept us alive and vibrant till today. That we have, just for us in our recent past, have experienced such a horrific Holocaust where 6 million Jews were murdered. And they say the number is not perfect. It could be much more, but that's the number used. 6 million Jewish people, decimated complete communities, families, complete groups of tzaddikim, chassidim, everything. And look what we are today, 70 years later. A vibrant, active, healthy, at least in our emotions to want to grow and progress, that we are what we are today, a nation who is spread out yet all over the world, but has grown with power, has grown with determination, a nation that has grown and continues to grow with the hope that Mashiach will help us and that we will one day return to Eretz Israel and we become this little nation, this little Israel, who is almost a speck on the world map, has become a center of the world in so many different areas of commerce. It's become the center in health, in medicine, in technology, in every area of technology. It's become the center of the world, where the world looks to Israel for many, many things. How could that have been after we have suffered so much degradation, so much massacres, going through an Inquisition, going through the Cossacks, going through the Russians, and going through the Holocaust, and we are still vibrant and growing and getting bigger and better? It's only because Hashem is with us. It's Vehisha Amda, Laviseinu. It's our faith in Hashem that He guides us, that made it happen. And because of our faith in Hashem, it recharges our spiritual batteries and further improves our commitment and dedication to Hashem and His Torah. I would like to repeat to you a story I've said at least once, but it's so relevant and it's so appropriate to mention. This story happened around 200 years ago with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is the leader of the Musa movement, and he was a great rabbi, and he taught the yeshiva world with the meaning of learning Musa instruction on a regular basis with a program to improve your character. And this great rabbi, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, was raising money, in Berlin, and there in Germany, he knew of a certain person who was not necessarily religious, but he was a very wealthy person, and he went over to him, and he tried to get his attention, and hopefully raise some funds for his yeshiva. So as he came to this wealthy person, the wealthy person was honored by the presence of this great rabbi. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was a famous rabbi. And the wealthy man, of course, invited him in, made him comfortable. I said, "Rabbi, I have a question to ask you. Could you please explain to me how come God has not performed any outside miracles as He has done in the time of the Jewish people leaving Mitzrayim? If He wants us to really be committed, let Him do these miracles now too." Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, "That's a very good question. I have to think about that. Could you give me 3 days? In 3 days, I'll come back to you." And so that's what happened. 3 days later, he comes back, and he says to the wealthy man, "I thought about your question, and I discovered that you have a daughter who is a professional dancer. Is that true?" He said, that is true. "Well, would you mind if you tell her to come down in the middle of this living room and perform a dance before me?" The man was taken. "Rabbi, now, in the middle of the living room? The rabbi said, "Do you want me to believe you? So she's supposed to be the world-renowned dancer." Well, the man was taken. The wealthy man went to his daughter, I guess in her bedroom, knocked on her door and said, "My dear, we have a very great rabbi downstairs, and he would like you to show him a dance. He found out that you are a world dancer." "So, Dad? Downstairs? No music? No stage? No costume? No lights? Come on, Dad. I can't do that." His father said, but my dear, it's a great rabbi downstairs. He won't believe me. you are known to be a great dancer. Oh, come on, Dad. Look at my wall. Look at all the certificates. Look at all the documents. Look at the awards. Here, take one. Show it to him. He'll believe you. The man, disappointed, went downstairs with maybe one of the documents and showed the rabbi. The rabbi said, well, is she coming down? The man says, no. Well, don't worry, though. Here, look at this. Here's an award, world-renowned. This is one of the top awards you get for such a performance. Look at this. You see it? Now you'll believe me. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, aha! That's what I was waiting for. You are asking me that Hashem should perform miracles for you. You mean you want him to dance in front of you now? Why do you need that? Hashem can prove that he can do it. Just look at his document. The document is his Torah. He can do it. Look at the document. Hashem had Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem knows how to do it. If you see the document, just like you showed me your document, you can believe this document. The story is very powerful. The story says that with emunah and betachon, we could accomplish worlds. We have to try. And the Seder night is an opportunity for us to rejuvenate those batteries and to put meaning into our Avodas Hashem. To give you a little bit of an idea, especially this year at Shabbos, we have some extra time. Learning parts of the Haggadah is allowed on Shabbos. Why don't you look over some of the commentaries on your Haggadah and prepare a certain topic you like to speak the night of Pesach? You can talk about eating matzah, eating maror, talk about the 10 plagues, Dam Tzvardeya. You want to discuss the Dayenu, the different miracles that happened to Jewish people, eating the Afikoman and talk about Korban Pesach, singing Hallel. There is so much you can pick. There's so much topics you can choose. If you come to the Seder prepared with something that you have seen in a Haggadah that inspired you, and share it with your family, it would be a wonderful opportunity to come to the Seder with that little bit of extra preparation and make the Seder that much more hands-on and that much more relevant. I think it's very important. And by doing that, you will certainly walk away from the Seder a different person. If you have, especially the family gets involved and you picked an interesting topic, is definitely based on what I've thought of. Ushmartem es ha-matzeis, when I talked about the pasuk, Hashem is telling you, and you shall guard the matzeis, which I am learning, it means guard the chag ha-matzeis, guard the message of the holiday of eating matzah. What's the message? The message is emunah and betachon. Have faith in Hashem. And that's what the whole holiday of Pesach is all about. If you guard the message of Chag HaMatzos, then you will be privileged to the second explanation that Ushmartem es HaMitzos. By guarding the message of the holiday of matzahs, you will also be able to fulfill the Shmartem es HaMitzvos by be strengthening the entire Torah by your performance of doing mitzvahs correctly. I wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful Chag HaPesach. Should be a time where you enjoy your family and get to be touched by the many, many customs and mitzvahs that we do at the Seder night. We should walk away enriched and invigorated with all of Hashem's messages through the Seder, and may we be zocher a year from now to be able to eat in Yerushalayim and to be able to say L'shana habor b'Yerushalayim habenuyah. Let us be in the rebuilt Yerushalayim with Mashiach Tzidkenu and with all of the Jewish people celebrating together in Yerushalayim. Have a wonderful Pesach. Chag Sameach, everybody. Thank you very much. Kol tov. Be well.